Start reading the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. And out of the ground, Jehovah Elohim made every tree grow that is pleasant to sight and good for food. And the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke 23, I'm reading from verse 39. Now, one of the malefactors who had been hanged spoke insultingly to him, saying, "Art thou not the Christ? Save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou too not fear God, thou that art under the same judgment? And we, indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have been done, of what we have done, sorry. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Verily, I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And the last passage is in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22 and verse 2. In the midst of its street and of the river, on this side and on that side, the tree of life, producing 12 fruits, in each month yielding its fruit. The marvel of the gospel is that it goes out to believers and unbelievers. Unbelievers need to be affected by the gospel in their souls in order to understand that God's plan is there to save them. To do that, they have to acknowledge, or we have to acknowledge, that we are sinners before God, and that we cannot get right. There's no way we can get right on our own efforts. This is the sad situation of an unbeliever. Once we accept that, God shows the remedy. And the remedy is in the Lord Jesus, a divine person, as we said, that came on earth and took a physical body. Exactly as we have, apart from sin. And having performed all things according to God, he has opened the possibility for me as an unbeliever or as a fallen creature to believe on him and to get access to God's plan of salvation. Now, the gospel is preached to believers as well. One could say, why do we repeat it so often? We already believe. But you know, there is a marvel in God's plan that is presented to the believer in order that not only may be confirmed in his faith, but he may draw more and more impressions to answer to God's plan of salvation. Because God's plan of salvation is not only to save you, but is to bring you into a state in which from a sinner you are turned into a worshiper. This is what God has in view. Now, I've read these passages because the first, as you notice, is in the second chapter of the Bible. And the last one is in the last chapter of the Bible. The tree of life is at the beginning of the Bible, is at the end of the Bible. That is God's plan presented to us. The tree of life is there. Now that as as we can present him, the tree of life is the Lord Jesus. But he was presented there at the beginning, you know. It's very nice setting here. I don't think, despite all the beauty of this country, of any other country, we don't have a setting like that now. All nice plants were there to be seen, nice to see, and to be fed on. Everything was there provided. But how was the creature in that situation? He was in innocence. And there he couldn't solve the big problem that arose in the two trees that were there. The tree of life was there, the tree of the knowledge of evil and good. And to have access to the tree of life, the problem, the difficulty with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil had to be solved. And it couldn't be solved by man, nor could be faced in his state of innocence. God had in view that man might enter into the solution of that problem in responsibility under the work of the Lord Jesus as a true believer, in our words. And this is what was in view. But think of the way in which God put those two trees in the garden. They were there alongside all the others. They were there as pointing out what his purpose would have been, to give life to a creature that had been delivered from the power of evil. There was a need of a divine person to deliver us from the power of evil. Now these two trees stay there. And I don't think Adam really could understand God's plans at that time, at the early time when it was, but he certainly understood very quickly that the way to the two trees was barred, and he disobeyed, was closed. He disobeyed the forbiddance of God, and he access to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But God then stopped completely the way to the tree of life in his mercy. Had he not done that, it would have been a total disaster for men. Imagine it, living forever in a condition of a fallen creature. Men that had disobeyed the order of God. And so all the rest of the types that we have spoken of before as well lead to the way in which God has graciously brought his people to understand what his ways were. But as I am, the people were hard of hearing and hard neck as well. They wouldn't obey God's will, and so they missed the blessing. And I would miss the blessing if I didn't accept the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. I've done that. I think everyone in this room has done it. We would like to see many more sitting here that perhaps haven't done it yet, but they could be convinced in their own state. But we just have to contemplate God's plan. So when we turn at the situation at the cross, it's a very well-known passage, but it's a passage that is rich of teaching to us all. There are two malefactors there. Now, another gospel says that both malefactors were saying things against the Lord. Luke, in his precision, draws this difference. There is one malefactor who acknowledges that the Lord is Christ, but he won't get to the point of admitting that he has done wrong. He wants benefit of the knowledge of good and evil to the point of judging the evil that was in himself. This shows really that what is needed is what the other malefactor did. He said, we are righteously under this because we get the recompense of what we have done. This is what God requires of ourselves, to understand that we are under the judgment of God unless we recognize that we are in that situation and that we need a Savior. And the Savior is there available straight away. Think of that malefactor, hand on the cross, and looking aside himself, the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross next to him. Available immediately to intervene, to help him, and to get him out of his problems. Straight away they are available. And he says, Dost thou not fear God, for thou art under the same judgment. He even understood that the Lord was there under judgment, but he had done nothing amiss. He saw the human side of it, of course, because we understand that the Lord was under judgment on God's side as well, for ourselves, in our stead. He was a substitute for us. But he says, we are under the same judgment. What a perfect answer to the work of the Lord Jesus, admitting that we would need that judgment on ourselves. And then, as he realized that that judgment was upon himself, what could he do else but turning to the Lord and ask him to remember him? He didn't even have the capacity or the courage to ask him to save him or to deliver him from the cross. He just said, remember. That is exactly the effect in our souls of the blessedness of the work of the Lord. So, you see, I think it has been said that at the cross, the two trees came near. They were there. The knowledge of good and evil that required the intervention of divine power in order to give life in a soul that is restored on account of repentance. The tree of life was available in the Lord Jesus in such a way that it was done straight away. Today thou shalt be. It's not in future, it's today. It's an immediate answer of the Lord, and that answer comes to each unbeliever that turns to the Lord and seeks for his help. And the Lord comes in and brings in the tree of life. And that life that comes from him, there are many other passages in Scripture that speak of that, but that life that comes from him has a straight entrance into a heart that has been healed. We have sung about healing. Now the Lord has a special power to heal. We read this morning of how the Lord touched the leper, and he was straight away. We noticed it was straight away healed. There was no time passing in between. It was straight away. And this malefactor said, remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. He had an understanding of that. And the Lord says that kingdom was there. It was refused, but it was there present. And the Lord says, verily I say to thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So that life came to him straight way. Now, as a believer, I think we can contemplate the immensity of blessedness there is in God's plan. It's a plan that showed there the problem of good and evil in Eden gardens, in Eden's garden, and showed the way in which God has solved that problem through the Lord Jesus. But the commandment is to go to the Lord and to repent. It's not an offer. It's a commandment to accept the Lord Jesus as a Savior. And if you accept, if we accept him, then we have all the blessing that is in view. And the final aim is the beautiful scene of the Holy City. The Holy City, there is only one tree. The other has disappeared. And the tree of life is there. And it's there. It's remarkable how it's put here. It gives its fruit. Each month its fruit. It's a continual production of fruit on account of the on account of the fact that God's plan has been worked out perfectly right to the end. The Lord Jesus didn't leave anything that wasn't completed, and God's blessing can come in, and the tree of life is there in the midst, in the center of the city, of the river, where everything flows according to God's blessing. As a believer, don't you feel affected by this plan? A plan that goes right from Genesis to Revelation. A plan that goes from the beginning of creation to the final scene of the glory that will be displayed in that city and of the blessing that will be there. Oh, what an answer we can give to the Lord on account of this. How the gospel in this case really affecting the heart of a believer can really produce an answer for the Lord Jesus. We have spoken of how we can answer to him. We have started the day with the privilege of gathering together to remember him. And after that, we worshipped. And the worship is is an expression of acknowledging really the greatness of our Lord and God and the divine persons and giving an answer to them. The measure of our answer is limited compared to the blessing that comes from the divine side, but is there in order that we may really enter into this blessed plan of God. And if we contemplate it, we can see what God had in view. You know, it's a mystery to us that evil was there. But on the other side, it's the greatest blessing we can have, that evil was overcome by the Lord Jesus and can be overcome by each one of us. We cannot occupy our minds with the enemy and the fallen angel and all the rest of it. It's there. We have to accept it. God allowed it. But the blessing that comes from us is looking unto the Lord, looking in the right direction, the tree of life, the person that was there available at the cross for the malefactor is available for me today, because as I am malefactor in the same way as he was, naturally speaking, and yet the Lord is available to give us life. Or may we contemplate this tree of life. It says that in the midst of his street and of the river, on this side and on that side, is a very strange expression, isn't it? But it shows the way in which this tree influences everywhere. You just think of the branches of a tree that can overlap, is that? Each side. And it says, the tree of life producing 12 fruits, the fullness of the divine administration there, 12 fruits. In each month, yielding its fruit, and nothing missing. Each month has got a fruit. Divine purposes are presented in such a way that the fullness of the fruit may come in view. Let us be encouraged, dear brethren, to really to look into this tree of life and to increase our appreciation, as we said before, and to be more and more available for an answer to the divine plan and to the divine persons. May the Lord bless us for his name's sake. Amen.